Anyway, the headcount that we've gotten from the national office, Maria does not agree with. Her records do not agree. So we need to find out why there's this difference. But if you look at the one that we get from the national office and compare us, our station, with others, it's very clear, you can see in the number of individuals and the FTE, that KPFA staff went to the model of reducing everybody's hours to keep the number of people around. And other stations did not do that exactly the same way. So I think that's an admirable way to handle the budget crisis. And I just wanted to throw that comment in. And also I'll remind you that there has been no determination at the station made by the interim general manager as to how the lesser sum that we were allocated for salaries is to be distributed. People do keep trying to keep expenses down. They're not going, you know, whole hog with hiring lots of folks. Okay. The board expenses are a small item. So let's go to the administrative expenses. Lots of overspending here on some of these categories. The property tax item is one that we will look at this other document soon. There are some payments that have been made and refunds that have been, a refund that has been received. The largest, that's pretty much the largest overdraft, but we didn't have any budgeted figure for that. Programming expenses, we've overspent a little bit. And then we get down to the development expenses. And as I said in the other memo, we're working on analyzing this. And I really don't believe there are mispostings, Tracy, but I do know that, for instance, there is some calculation based on how many calls are received, how many pledges are received, and the formula in the budget then speculated that a certain portion of those would have premiums attached to them. And when somebody makes a pledge and gets a premium, then, of course, that means there's mailing costs and this business of the credit card discount fees. Everything is interconnected in this category. That so there are lots of things that are over budgeted for, and I believe we're going to find out that we can be more exact. And I hear what you're saying about the same budget used in past years. I don't have the facts and figures right here as to whether or not the budgeted amount and the actuals amount was, you know, did we have overages there the last years? Did we, budgeting for it is one thing. Did we spend it? Was there money left? Okay. And just to back up a little bit, of course, to remind you that in the administrative section is where we find this, the depreciation figure, which we still feel is in the wrong place. But it is where it's going to be shown in our financial statements this year, at least. Okay, well, I Why don't you ask any questions you want, and I probably will just be taking notes to get them answered later. Unless we want to also get into this. It's in under administration, near the bottom of the, yeah. It is, Okay. Yes, Janet.
Yeah, hi. As you know, I'm relatively new to this, and so maybe my questions are kind of silly, but in any case, I'm looking at administrative expenses and programming expenses, specifically around internet, around consultants. So line 93, I assume, is how much is paid to in actual consultants' fees. And I'm wondering whether any of... I'm sorry, page 4.
Line 93.
Okay. If you notice, for October, November, there are amounts, and then December through February, nothing there. But then looking at... Line 89, internet cable connection. There's a very large number in February, and I'm wondering whether some of that really is consultant fees question. Then on line 109, computer maintenance, I'm wondering whether any of that is also consultant fees. And then the last one on the next page, line 121, website expenses, whether any of that is consultant fees.
Okay. Roger Marquis is not an employee, but we hire him for his services. And the word consultant is used loosely here. He's a contractor. And so when we pay his bills, it's not as a consultant. Consultants typically give advice and don't really perform work. And I can't say what those consultant charges are in October and November specifically, or even the little one in February. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. But we could find out, and there are charges, as we've been discussing this kind of work, that have been, as the term is, reclassified from one account to another. And for instance, the 13,000. Where was that?
Line 89.
Yeah, that is in February. Is a result of some reclassifications of expenses that have happened. So this that's part of this thing that we're working on to get better explanations that people can understand where this money was at first, or the expenses were at first lodged and then changed.
So I don't know whether this would... I just have an idea of wanting to see contractor and then under contractor, the different lines that are included in that detail about contractors.
Well, so, unfortunately, the layout of these accounts is not just for our station, but for all stations. So we can't say, well, this ought to be named something different. So this is why Maria has gone to the stage of having for, as she did for the crafts fair person, an internal set of accounts that divides up the type of expenses they have, which we would be able to get information about, so we know how the, but they would still have to be lodged in a category, a budget category that's here, an account that's here. Okay, Rich.
Well, I was just going to say one thing. Weren't we told at a previous meeting that some of the consultant was for the development consultation that
it
we had?
It could have been. I don't remember right now. Yeah. You'd have to see the general ledger what made up those expenses. Okay, Tracy.
Yeah, just to be clear about the administrative overrun on expenses, which is about $45,000. What it consists of is $10,000 on the $13,000 internet connection. So we do need to get to the bottom of that if we are in fact trying to get answers about where there are overruns. That's substantial. And $14,000 in property tax, most of which we didn't have to pay and which we are now going to have refunded. And we've had some conversations about that. We've got $19,026 back of what will approximately be $8,000 or $9,000 that will be refunded or possibly more. So, Barbara, I have two questions. The first is the property site, the property tax folks came over to do an inspection on March 27th. If that inspection was successful, we would, in fact, be entitled to another $8,000 in property tax refunds this year, as well as approximately $8,000 for each of the past 3 or 4 years. Can you let us know what happened on March 27th? Because, of course, it was expected that we would, in fact, file nonprofit exemptions and get treated for our property tax as a nonprofit rather than as a commercial property. So that's what that $14,000 overrun is about. And what was the other item here? Yeah, and the other item is legal, which, of course, we understand. So, again, we do need to get some clarification on the internet connections. Contractors are never internet connections wherever else they might be. And can you let me know what happened with the March 27th property tax investigation that also impacts the miscellaneous income on page 1, which has not come in, line 14, $30,000 of that is our nonprofit property tax exemptions for the previous 3 or 4 years, which we're also supposed to be getting back. So we need to know whether or not those refunds are going to happen. Thanks.
Okay, what we have next is Andrea, and then Sasha, and Frank.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the property tax, too, whether we got anything back from that. And I think one way to handle that is that if we write the question down and then get it to you, and then you can report.
Well, this three-page thing is about the property taxes. We haven't gotten to that
yet. I'm trying to help you here. 1 minute. And if we write it down and then get back to and then give mm-hmm. it to you, mm-hmm. then you can get back to us with a concrete mm-hmm. response as to, because we are dealing in a lot of fuzzy areas. So one way to do it is get the question and then report back. It just makes it easier for all of us as opposed to guessing. My other thing, I guess I would go to Maria to get a chart of accounts, because that would explain these columns here. You know, the definitions, as one of my colleague over here just brought up, you know, it's like, how are these things being defined so we'll know how to, you know.
She certainly could show you the chart of accounts or
okay,
give you a copy.
Okay, great, yeah. And it would may be good if all of us on the LSB would have maybe a lesson or something in terms of the budget here, like year-to-date, knowing budget means projections and that where the variances are, like to get a total of all of the variances. Now, it's nice to see that personnel, we're only like $3,000 and some off, you know, so then we can project what it'll cost for the next quarter. And I'd like to know, like, 30 days out in after a quarter has ended, normally you would know pretty much of what your bills would be. And so if Maria could report back on that, so it gives us a clearer picture of how our expenditures will be for the last quarter. And it will justify why we have to have so much in terms of fund drives. And maybe, mm-hmm. you know, it would give us a better picture. maybe we don't have to have a lot if these variances aren't that much over or whatever. So it'd be great. I'm sorry I didn't sign up for budget because this is really what I like. Okay. But I agree with Tracy in terms of the property tax report. It would be good to, you know, get that because we were supposed to generate some revenue off of this.
Okay. All right. Now, I'll just quickly say that we will get more information when we go through this about the property taxes. And as far as the chart of accounts, you can get a list that don't have that doesn't have money attached to it, but it's pretty much the description that you've got here as far as what the chart of accounts are.
Right, yeah, but it gives more
specificity. It would give you account numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's right.
And let's see, there was the last thing you said was, I was going to answer one more thing. I forgot what that was. Okay. And yes, we are going to be having budget meetings very soon, so I'll remember that you said you like this stuff,
yeah,
Andrea.
I do.
I know.
I'd also like for us to talk about how we could generate some more money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Frank.
No.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm sorry.
My sister.
Here, please.
I just want to throw something in terms of paying the tax bill. Property taxes in Berkeley are due half of the year on December 10th and the other half a year on April 10th. And the penalty for not paying on time is really very, very high. I say that as somebody who pays property taxes in Berkeley, and I don't remember what it is, but I sort of have this figure in my head of it's 25 to 35% penalty that you're paying extra. So while we will probably get a rebate and when that gets straightened out, but I would imagine that if we didn't pay our property taxes as billed on time, we would be hit with a penalty. You know, until we get the official word that we are in fact going to be getting a lower tax rate because we are a nonprofit, we actually owe what's billed. You know, and that would be a whole other needing to deal with a bureaucracy in terms of getting a penalty refunded, and I don't even know whether we would or we wouldn't. I don't pretend to have any expertise
have any penalties
on that.
So don't.
But there are no penalties?
We have not paid.
No. But I mean, if we didn't pay the bill because we think we're going to owe a lower bill and we have a refund, blah, 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 we might then be hit with a penalty for the bill as billed presently until the bureaucracy catches up with all of that. So I just wanted to say that because there's been a lot of, I mean, I've seen months of argument really about the we shouldn't be paying the tax bill and so forth because we're going to get a refund. But, you know, so I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm sort of curious, you know, I agree. I mean, you know, I've been struggling with these things for 5 years because there's sort of a way that the national office does things that does not necessarily translate well to figuring out what it means for us on a local level and trying to figure out where we are in different categories and if we need to be worried about something or not. It just doesn't translate well. And it's really complicated. It's like the depreciation being an administrative expenses. That's good to know, but then I'd like to know how much of the overrun in administrative expenses is actually depreciation and not. And we don't get that because of what the national office has decided, where they've decided to put that. But the other question I have to do, I think the consultant fees are actually for the development consultant that the IGM used, who I believe is very costly. And I know he consulted with her in the fall. I couldn't begin to tell you whether it was exactly October, November. Sort of in my head was September, October, but I may be totally wrong about that. I imagine that's what that expense is. But I'm sort of curious, if we have like a $24,000 roughly overrun in salaries, but that does not include a development director, which I believe we budgeted for, and the IGM decided not to hire somebody but to use a consultant, would we then, if we had a development director, which we desperately need, have a $100,000 overrun? Well, unless we actually had hired someone, because even though he consulted with this person once or twice, That's all. It was very, as I understand, it was just a couple of hours. It was not very long consultation.
There was at least 1 hour that she gave free.
Right, right.
So I don't know what was paid.
Well, my understanding and from things that he has said, that he has really not met with her again since this fall. So I think we had budgeted, off the top of my head, $80,000. I may be wrong about that, but somewhere in that neighborhood for a development director, including, you know, benefits. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if we'd actually hired a development director, well, of course, we don't know what money they might have brought in.
Right.
But in terms of, you know, so can we get a better handle on that somehow? And then my other question has to do with community events, which seems to be an ongoing, beginning to get a chorus, as far as I'm concerned, raising questions about cost and income on community events. And they seem to be, in some parts of this, lumped together with the crafts fair and in other parts not. And so I can't sort it out. And I'm wondering if you could walk us through that. If you're not prepared today, then the next time.
No, I can say something about that. Is that the last of your?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll just I'll deal with some things that Sasha's just asked about. The community events, there is a place where the income is shown, and this has always been a problem for people to understand what's happening with the community events and the crafts fair, because the income is listed where the income is for everything else, and the expenses are listed separately, and yet these are like separate projects from our radio broadcasting projects. And so it makes it hard for people to track what's going on. And that was why we had Jan come last time and give an overview of the program. But if you look at the expenses part, and now it also this budget category is driven by the budget framework we have to use.
Right.
And in other stations, they have different kinds of community events that they put in their category. But at the top of page 6, there are the expenses for the community events and the crafts fair. And on the front page is where the income is for these activities.
But on the front page, they're lumped together.
They're lumped together.
Right. Some now,
there is some place. There is another place that they are not. Right. On page 2, details of revenue. Then line 49 is the community events, and line 50 is the crafts fair. So if you look at community events for the this 5-month period, it's the community events have brought in almost twice what we budgeted for. So then when you look at the end of this, at page 6, you see he has, of course, spent a little over twice. But still, there's a positive figure for the income produced by the community events. And as far as budgeting for a development director, there would have to be funds identified where they might be available and move them to a category that would cover an FTE for a development director if we decided to do that. Okay. All right. Next, I think, is Frank.
Well, after all those complex budget questions, it makes mine seem so simple. But I was just curious about, you said that Maria's numbers and the Pacifica's numbers don't add up on our full-time or our paid employees. Did they say we have more or less, or what is that?
I think they say we have more, but I shouldn't talk about it until we get it dealt with. It's a document we've gotten fairly recently, and she's been really busy with a lot of other.
I'm just curious, what that was and how that affects our.
I know you are. Okay. So am I.
Right. So anyway, I'll check that out later.
Right, Cynthia.
I've been on this board for over a year, and I don't like budgets, but I would like to go to those budget meetings because This is another simple-minded question, and I'm appreciating what Sasha and Andrea and Tracy bring up. This is simple. Where do the legal expenses go? The only question I get from the people I talk to, I'm sure it's the PNB Central Services, I imagine, but I'd like to have a little more accounting on those because I don't know why we have so many legal expenses. That really is a concern of somebody who's trying to be responsible as a board member.
That's true. It is a large amount of money. And, in fact, Pacifica has agreements with more than one law firm. This is the kind of thing that's being examined by the director's inspection. And I'm not quite clear about how the information that's going to be gained will be shared because this is an area where things are a lot of confidential stuff happens. But I totally agree with you that the board should know what these expenses are. And I don't know whether Margie can say something about how what she thinks the reporting will be after the director's inspections finish.
We've just gotten copies of retainer agreements between the various law firms, of which there are a great deal, many, many law firms that Pacifica has retainer agreements. And we've gotten some invoices. One of the problems is that some of the invoices have a great deal of detail on it. So I've already noticed, for example, that one invoice included consultation with attorneys on stuff related to KPFA and related to KPFK. But it seems to me, although it's very hard to tell from the numbers we have, it seems to me that it is perhaps the case that KPFA was charged for all of that and that, you know, and so I don't know. And some other station maybe should be charged for some of that. The other problem is that some of the lawyers' bills, the one firm that KPFA has been asked to pay the greatest amount of money for, sends bills that have absolutely no detail. So there's no way of telling what was happening. I was given Laura Privis, who's a PNB director, appointed me to be her representative for the director's inspection, and we were given a lot of material, which we haven't finished analyzing, along with a cover letter that said that the information was confidential. I have serious questions about that. For example, I don't believe that retainer agreements can be held confidential. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like a contract, and it has to be public. What? What did you say, Tracy? I'm sorry? I didn't hear what you said. I'm just asking.
I said nothing.
Thank you. Okay. my ears are playing tricks on me. I'm going to talk to somebody who knows about this. I've done some research online with state laws about confidentiality, and I'll tell you frankly that my feeling is that Pacifica uses confidentiality in a way that is not appropriate. That there are materials that should not be held confidential that Pacifica deems confidential and discusses in closed door sessions. But in any case, I'm going to work on that, and I will share as much information with this body as I can from the director's report. Okay?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Tracy?
want to be silly, but just so people know, the board of directors got at the last in-person meeting a 20-page legal report from our corporate counsel that included the amounts paid on every single case to every single attorney, along with a status report on every single case. I'm not quite clear why you're doing a director's inspection to get information that you already have, but I guess if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. That report was given out to the members of the Pacifica National Board. You're not a member of the Pacifica National Board. However, you said you're requesting information on a director's inspection for Laura Privis. Laura Privis would have that report. In terms of whether contracts are confidential, I can assure you that contractual information is always confidential and that all members of the Board of Directors have seen all of the retainer agreements by virtues of PDF. So again, sounds to me like you're doing director's inspections to get stuff that you have already gotten, and that what is actually going on is you have members of the boards of directors sharing contractual information outside of the confines of confidentiality, which can get a little messy. So you have to be careful about that. Margie's not a member of the board of directors of the 501c3. You are, Laura Privis is, I am, Dan Siegel is. There is a legal difference in the level of responsibilities and obligations. Let's remember the LSB is a committee of the national board. Factually, I think most of the information in the legal report probably could be shared. Probably a couple of items would have to be X'd out, but not, I think, the majority of them. So if I get permission from counsel, I will pop it up on a website or something with whatever has to be crossed out. And I would assume that any of you can do the same too. Laura, Andrea?
Yeah. All right. Con.
Microphone.
I wanted to point out that when it comes to confidentiality items, the only things which are confidential have to do with either personnel matters or have to do with contractual matters where a discussion might affect the contract. For instance, talking about buying a piece of property. And so you don't want to let that known out loud because it could end up doing where someone to hear about it, jack up the price of the property. But those are the only two things. This is a public organization. Any contract that we sign, everybody has a right to read that contract. And we ought to be very clear about that. This is we're not some private corporation here. We're a public corporation.
Can we go on now? We're over time on this item, and I'd like to have Barbara do the report on the property taxes and have that discussion, and then it'll be time for a break. Okay? Is everybody up for that? Okay, Barbara.
All right. Now I'm referring to this three-page thing here with shaded background and various columns. This is first there's a couple lines of heading, then there's a white section where Maria has listed some questions that Tracy had raised in emails, and then opposite them, Maria's response or answer to them. So the top page, referring to parcel one, first we just need to note that Tracy, you always mentioned this as though 1925 and 1929 are on the same parcel, and it is not. That is not the way it is. Pardon me?
Well, that's kind of too bad for us because it means that we've been perjuring ourselves for several years.
No,
let me finish, Barbara, because 1925 is not, in fact, vacant commercial property, and stating that it was vacant when our national headquarters were there.
I'm only talking about the description of the parcel.
It doesn't have to make money. But if you're actually operating a not-for-profit office in something and declaring to the county that it's vacant commercial property, you're not, for years, that's not good.
Well, I am only talking about the fact that each parcel has a number. And the parcel that is numbered on the second line in that description only includes 1929. The other parcel that we have tax records for is the second page, and that parcel is the one that has the combined address of 1921 and 1925. So you're combining, I guess, addresses based on use. But that's not physically the way the county has been describing these parcels for years.
No.
Okay. Let Barbara finish her report, and then let's have a discussion about it. Go ahead.
The tax bills will show what address is related to which parcel number, okay? And believe me, the parcel that has two addresses is 1921, 1925. And the other parcel is 1929, which is only the radio station building and property. So then just reading down Maria's statement, the first installment was paid in January of 27th of 2012, and she's got the check number there. The second installment was paid in February 29th, and she has the check number there. So that parcel was, the taxes were paid. Nothing was overdue. We got no penalties for paying anything late. And let's go to the second page. Now, this is the parcel which contains the storage area and the national office. And you'll see that we paid these on time. The site inspection did, in fact, happen on the 27th of March. And now we are awaiting the determination of the county. We don't have any time schedule as to when they're going to reply to us, but they Maria is in contact with the people that she's been dealing with all along, and they will be communicating with us soon about it. The last page, and by the way, the figures that you are talking about, Tracy, of the possible refund we're going to get for past years, Maria is not clear at all about how much that would be. And we don't know where you've gotten the estimate of what you think is going to be refunded to us. So I think that it's the county who's going to say how much is going to be refunded. And we don't have any indication yet of how much that is. So it's another one of these budget speculation things. If we're guessing how much we're going to get back for any corrections in past years. All right, now on the last page is the parcel that is actually in Oakland, where our transmitter is on Grizzly Peak. So there was here a payment at a rate that was too high to avoid a penalty that then we did get a revised bill and we got a refund for having overpaid. And the refund was received on March 30th. And that's, you'll see, the $1,926. This second installment at the incorrect higher rate was entered in the general ledger, but it was voided and replaced with this revised invoice, which we got, and the revised bill was paid on time. This property was the one that was involved in one form that did not get filed at the timely because of an emergency in Maria's family. Her daughter was run over and drugged by a vehicle for a number of feet, and Maria left to go be with her daughter and then actually had her at home caring for her a while and continued to work at home and realized that this form that was supposed to be filed to claim our nonprofit status, which would then affect the property taxes for the transmitter, had not been filed. It was filed late, but there is no penalty for that. And in fact, the office, you know, got it and said, it's fine, we're sending this one bill, but then we'll send the revised bill. And when you send a revised bill, you have a revised due date also. So the due dates are not the same once there are changes. So this gives a full picture of what's been happening with the property taxes. And as far as this, as I said, the inspection that was made will produce, you know, some response soon. And we will hopefully get a better idea of how much of a refund we'll get for past years. That's okay. That's it for me. Tracy. Cynthia, did you have your question? Did you put your... Okay, Tracy.
Okay, so... Whoops. Just to be clear, the reason for all of these refunds and the payments in and out was that KPFA was not taking a not-for-profit exemption on their property tax, even though, in fact, the Pacifica Foundation, and of course KPFA is part of the Pacifica Foundation, is a not-for-profit organization. The difference between what a for-profit pays and what a nonprofit pays in property tax isn't really a mystery. There's a little bit of flexibility year to year based on some of the local City of Berkeley assessments, which can go up and down, but the difference in terms of previous years is not some sort of a guessing game or some kind of great mystery. It's pretty clear what the difference is between what nonprofits pay and what for-profits pay at a certain assessment. The assessment of the property value in previous years is known. So the numbers are not quite as fuzzy as they seem to be, as seems to be being implied. We do know, for example, the exact amount that we saved after reassessment on 1929 MLK, and we would save a similar amount when we finally get the refunds for 2011, 2010, 2009, 2008, and however far back we can go. I believe it's either 3 or 4 years. Looking at the 1921-1925 parcel, if in fact that's how it's coded, and 1925 is a little tiny building in between the two larger buildings, so which parcel it's attached to has been a bit confusing. According to the property tax office, they're kind of mystified by it. But I'll accept that it's been formally attached to 1921. What that means, unfortunately, is that we've been declaring that an office, which we are in fact using as nonprofit space for our national headquarters and have been for many years in a very obvious and public way. We get mail there. Our FCC licenses are headquartered there, is in fact vacant commercial property. And from the point of view of the FCC, the CPB, and some of our federal licensing scenarios, that's not so good. So thank God we did an inspection on March 27th, and we'll get that fixed. To have a $15 million nonprofit foundation headquartered in a building that's declared a vacant commercial space is really not good. And apparently we've been doing that for many years. We've also been absorbing a $9,612 bill annually that will likely be dropped down to the vicinity of about $3,000. Maybe a bit less, depending on the assessment. So that looks to be at least a $6,000 to $7,000 refund per year. It would be nice if we could go back and get the refunds all the way back to 2003, but I think they stop it at 3 or 4 years. So we would get about $6,000 to $8,000 this year and $6,000 to $8,000 for every year going back that we can. I'd like to know if you got an answer about when the reassessment will be done and when you can expect a response from the 327th. From the 327 inspection. I'll also note that we went ahead and paid a $4,800 payment that was due on April 10th, apparently as early as January 27th when we knew we were being reassessed. So I'm not quite sure why we did that. Seems at a minimum we could have waited till we had the inspection on the 27th to see if we had to pay to make the deadline. But, you know, whatever. It's just money going in and money coming back out. It's important to note that our it's a cash flow issue, and it's also makes for a lot of unnecessary paperwork. In terms of your budget, it's important to note that approximately $30,000 of your miscellaneous income is coming in from this source, so it would be nice to get some assurances it will, in fact, be in this fiscal year. That is a part of how this board balanced last year's budget, was presuming that that income would come in. And in addition, what's the other thing? Oh, and the 1926 refund, which is the one that, which is, you know, it's just a tiny portion of the $35,000 we're expecting to get, but it's a little tiny bit, did come in at the end of March, so I guess presumably that will be in the March financial statement, so we'll get about $2,000 back of the $14,000 in property tax that we've forwarded, most of which should come back. The remainder will hopefully come back, I guess, at this point, maybe by the end of April or May. Okay.
Okay.
If I may, I have a question.
Yes. So I have Sasha and then Laura. And did somebody else raise their hand? Okay. Sasha.
So I'm wondering if you and Maria could also calculate how much of the refund we're getting back, you think we will actually have paid in Maria's salary to do these endless calculations and respond to these endless emails that have gone on for months and months and months and months. I know I can't charge for having to listen and read this stuff, although I would love to. But I think we need that calculation as well in terms of how much money we've wasted. You know, I have to really say that I'm glad whatever is being done about reassessing the property, you know, as it should be as a nonprofit and getting that refund. But I have to say, I'm really beginning to not just find the constant discussion, Tracy, as an incredible waste of all of our time, but it is also done in an incredibly offensive manner. I think it is underway. That's pretty clear that we are going to be reassessed and be paying a lower tax fee. And I think we should leave it alone now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. Laura?
I guess I can echo Sasha there. I'm wondering, I guess, first of all, why this investigation is happening at all. I thought, isn't it true that Maria was the one to discover that we were overpaying our taxes?
And by investigation, you mean the inspection of the property?
She was the one to discover that we were paying commercial rather than nonprofit
she
rates
did.
On our taxes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And these were conditions prior to her being the business manager.
Yes, mm-hmm. But she discovered that it had,
that it was
that
incorrect.
It was how we were
right.
doing it, and it wasn't right, and it needed to be corrected.
Right.
And I'm just wondering about the waste of time, all this minutia coming to the board when this should just be a standard.
It's being
like,
handled.
There's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fix it. And I think it's just an ethos of this board that's really a problem of. Not if you see something that looks out of order to you as a board member, of course that's your responsibility to figure out what's wrong. But why not go to the employee or go to the supervisor of the employee directly or go to the executive director and work through talking to people on a more one-to-one basis rather than emails to the board and accusations and doing your own investigations. It seems like we could be better if we would just try to work together a little bit more fluidly.
Thank you, Laura. I'd like to reiterate that Maria has again asked me and Margie to extend the invitation of anybody who wants to understand more about the financial reports to make an appointment and come and see her. And she also asks that if you have any complaints or criticisms of her work, that you take them to her supervisor, who is the interim general manager. Yes, Andrea.
Can we take a break?
Well, Tracy's talked a lot. Is everybody else okay? Then this should be the last question, unless some burning thing comes up with what Tracy says, and we'll have a break, right? Okay, Tracy.
No, I mean, nothing major. It's just that we're talking about since 2003, $100,000 in listener funds paid more or less unnecessarily in taxes, and getting some of that back. That six-figure amount has been blown all over the universe as being wasted on legal bills. Why is it such a terrible thing if it's wasted on legal bills and not a terrible thing if it's wasted on unnecessary property tax payments? I mean, I appreciate that the board doesn't have much interest in financial stuff. I get that. I've been on it long enough to understand that. But it does seem to me, it does seem to me like you have a responsibility to make sure that you're not overpaying your taxes because you're a not-for-profit organization and paying them as a commercial organization. Because you didn't do anything about it from 2003 to May of 2011 when the National Finance Committee started paying attention to it, it's kind of pathetic. I mean, I can't really imagine that you can't sit through a half an hour discussion of getting back $35,000 to help this station. Okay?
Thank you. Okay.
I mean, come on.
It's time for our break, okay? Can we do it?
Can I just put it on the record that I'm sick to death of the condescension and the superior attitude and treating everybody else like an idiot, Tracy?
Okay. Now it's time for a break. Everybody breathe. Have something to eat. Use the bathroom. Come back in 10 minutes.